Well, welcome. I'm so glad you're here with us today. We're going to be talking about spiritual amnesia. And I know you don't have it, or I know you think you don't have it, or you might have forgot that you have it. But the reality is that it's plaguing you and me and many. So let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we ask that today you would help us to see you. Help us to hear you. Help us be able to respond in faith to you. Lord, you are constant. You are never changing, but we are oh so fickle and oh so pushed back and forth. We waver and we desire, Lord, for you to draw us firmly into your embrace, to wrap your arms of love around us and remind us again of what you think about us, what you're doing for us. We ask this in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. Came across an interesting article about a young couple from Canada. Laura and Braden Faganello. Happily married for 9 months, and then on that tragic day, April of 2017, doing a little project that she was working with, a pole fell, hit her in the head, and she lost her memory. She had amnesia to such an extent she did not know her husband. She had trouble sleeping. She had trouble with pain. But the hardest thing was she'd wake up and see this man, and she didn't know him. And there was fear that overcame her. She pushed him away. She did not have any kind of love in her heart for this person who seemed to her to be a stranger, as if she had lost the last 6 years of her life. She thought she was a 17-year-old girl again. And what happened as time went on was this process of her trying to figure out, does she like this person or not? She eventually took off her wedding ring because she said, I have no memory of you giving this to me. I have no memory of a wedding. I don't even know you. Let's start over. And what took place over the days and weeks and then months was them dating, him courting her, him wooing her. And she says, you know, I have no recollection of loving him before, but I've grown to love him now. And she writes about love being a decision. A wonderful article from a couple from up in Canada, Laura and Braden Faganello. I encourage you to read their story. But she said that he would leave her a note before he went off to work every morning, saying something like, I love you. And at first it was scary to her. Who's this man that says he loves me and I don't know him? But over time, she fell in love with him. He proposed to her again, and they got married again. Now, the smart thing they did for the man's amnesia was they did it on the same date they did 4 years earlier, so he only has one wedding to remember. But how odd that might be, that a wife would forget her husband and forget that her husband loved her. I wonder if any of us have had trouble remembering someone loved us. I wonder if any of us have had trouble remembering that God loves us. See, I'm convinced that the thing most lacking in most Christians' lives is a fresh outpouring of the love of God. I think if every morning you started with a reception of a fresh outpouring of the love of God, it would change how you went throughout that day. It would change the things, the way you respond to the things that happened. It might not mean that bad things don't still occur, but it would mean that when those tough times come, you respond to them out of a stableness of heart because you're convinced of the love of God. Just as this man, Braden Faganello, wrote a love note to his wife every morning because she forgot, so God has written you a love note. And every morning I encourage you to read it. There are so many verses throughout Scripture convincing us, trying to convince us of God's love for us. We need a reminder. Do you remember today that God loves you? That God's crazy about you? That God cares about you beyond what you could ever comprehend? God is in love with you. Now, this problem of spiritual amnesia is not new. The Old Testament is filled with admonitions by God to the people of Israel. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, it reads, "Take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life." In other words, the Jewish people, the Israelite people, had been miraculously saved. They'd seen the outpouring of God's love. They'd heard him expressing it through the prophet Moses, and they kept forgetting. They kept turning away. They kept forgetting about God and chasing other things. So time and time again, God is having to say, "I love you. Come back. Remember. Respond." So we want to be people who respond to God and to his great love for us. Maybe there's a few of these verses and love notes from God that'll impact you today. I encourage you to write some of these down and keep them handy and come back to them and remind yourself of them. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Lamentations 3:22. That means that today, when you woke up, there was fresh love from God for you. Maybe you used up all of God's love last night. Maybe it felt like you used up the whole allotment yesterday. But the good news is that every single morning, there is a fresh dose of God's love for you. It's called his great love, and it's called his compassions, and it's called his faithfulness. Every single day, there's an allotment for you. It never runs out. It never is empty. God's love for you is always constant. Or Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. "I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you." See, everlasting love, that's the kind I need. That's what I'm craving, because I know that I do things that at a human level would cause someone to stop loving me. But God says he has an everlasting love. It continues. He is faithful to me forever. God's love never quits. I think the parable of the prodigal son is one of the most beloved because so many of us can relate to it. Jesus describes a scenario where a son who's been blessed and has everything he needs suddenly doesn't want it anymore, doesn't care about the father's love, and demands his inheritance early and leaves the father's presence. And it says he wastes his inheritance in wild living. But of course that runs out, and he finds himself destitute, and he wonders what should he do. And he comes up with this plan, a plan that's revealing his forgetfulness. His plan is to go back home and try to be a slave on the father's farm. He knows he doesn't deserve to be a son. He knows he's turned away from his father and rejected his father, and there's no human reason for the father to accept him back. So he thinks, "I'll just go back as a slave. At least as a slave, I'd get something to eat and a place to sleep." But he's forgetting something. He's forgetting who he is. And most importantly, he's forgetting who his father is. See, the father loved the son. He loved the son when he was an infant. He loved him when he was old. He loved him when he was behaving. He loved him when he was misbehaving. He loved him when he was in his presence, and he loved him when he deserted him, and he most certainly displayed that love when the son returned. So what about you? Do you see yourself as the prodigal son who's wondering, "Does my father still love me? Even after all the things I've done and the things I've said, even though I don't deserve his love, does he love me?" Do you see yourself as the beloved of the Lord, or as someone who only deserves to possibly be a slave, having to earn the master's favor, having to work hard to redeem yourself from the pit you've dug from all your mistakes? The truth is, the son was loved all the time, but he wasn't experiencing it. He wasn't
receiving it. He wasn't accepting it. But when he got home, the Father threw his arms around him. And that's what the Heavenly Father wants to do for you today. And every single morning. As his mercies are new every day and every single morning. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8 explain it this way. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one might dare to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. See, Christianity is not about you getting your life together, starting to look better, starting to act better, so that finally God will say, I love you. In reality, Christianity is the opposite of that. Christianity is someone that says, my life's a mess. I've made tons of mistakes. My heart is fickle, and I'm so forgetful. But God loves me, died for me, so I'm going to give my heart to him. I'm going to say yes to your love because you're offering it in spite of my sin. One of the most dangerous things is when Christians act like they're better than other people and they're deserving of God's love. The thing that breaks down the resistance of non-Christians is when real Christians admit their sin and admit their desperate need for a Savior that's bigger and greater and stronger than all their mistakes. We want to be people with not the problem of spiritual amnesia, but with the reality of God's love ever overwhelming us, so we overflow with gratitude. Jesus said it this way, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Picture that. Picture Jesus at his baptism. He's going through that ritual of baptism. John the baptizer is there, and Jesus goes in the line and comes up, and John baptizes him in the Jordan River. He hadn't done a thing yet. His ministry hadn't started yet. But the Father's voice booms from heaven and says, you are my Son, whom I love. You're my Son, and I love you. You're mine. I have affection for you. I have desire for you. I'm compassionate for you. I love you, and I'm proud of you. Jesus' identity was declared by the Father. It was the reminder that Jesus needed in his humanness as he then launched into his ministry. And if you remember, the first aspect of his ministry was doing spiritual battle. He was immediately, it says, led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days of fasting and tempting by the devil. And it was that identity statement that propelled Jesus to be able to then withstand the onslaught of the enemy's attack. What did Jesus need to hear before the enemy started attacking? He needed to hear that God loved him. You and I are going to be tempted. You and I are going to face opposition. You and I are going to go through times when it seems like the world is dry and life is hard. And what do we need to survive those times? We need a fresh encounter with the love of God. God wants to boom from heaven down into your heart. You are my child. I love you. I'm proud of you. You belong to me. And when we belong to Christ, we're safe in his arms. We're secure there. And his love is constant and continuing and everlasting. So when the hard time comes, you look at it and you say, well, this might be a difficult thing to go through, but I'm going through it being reminded of I'm God's. I'm God's child. I'm God's son. I'm God's daughter. And he loves me even though I'm in the midst of this thing. Why is that important? Because sometimes circumstances cause you to doubt God's love. Sometimes something hard happens and you think, well, God must not love me if you let this thing happen to me. We fall into this fallacy of thinking that circumstances dictate truth. And the reality is that truth empowers us to get through circumstances. The truth of God's word is what we need. And we need every day a fresh love note from God reminding us that he loves us. I love you. I love you. I love you. You're mine. Even if you don't remember our wedding day, even if you don't remember who I am, I love you. And then we choose. How are we going to live out that day? Looking at the circumstances, being buffeted here and there by the winds that assail us, or by firmly standing on the truth of what God has said? Maybe this year you need to join me on a journey of digging up the nuggets of truth from God's word about how much he loves you. Go ahead and grab your pen as you grab your Bible. Maybe you want to make it red, and maybe you want to circle those verses that talk about God's love for you. Maybe you want to, instead of circling them, put a red heart around them. And you'll be amazed at the end of the year as you're going through the scripture, how page after page seems to be filled with love notes from God. Love notes from God. Isaiah 43, verse 1, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." Isaiah 43, 1. Fear not. I haven't checked it recently. I don't remember if my memory is right, but it seems in my memory bank that there's 365 fear nots in the Bible. Check that out. 365. That's a good number of fear nots in the Bible. One for every day of this year coming up. And then do another little check. See how many times in the Bible it says, from God, I love you. That it says God loves you. We don't have to fear because God has redeemed us. That means bought us back, taken us out of slavery, made us his own, purchased us off the auction block, and made us part of his forever family. He's redeemed us, and now we are his. You are mine, he says. And then it says, I have called you by name. God knows your name. God knows you intimately. He knew you before you were created. He formed you. He saw the cells growing and dividing before you even came out of your mother's womb. You think of about a baby in the womb right now. God's already washed that little one. God's love for that little one is constant already. And every day that you have had a breath, God has loved you. So what do we do with that? What do we do with that? We need to receive it. We need to remember it. We need to respond to it. We need to say it. That's the reality. The little tiny book towards the end of your New Testament, Jude, written to the person named Jude. It's only one chapter long. In verse 21, it's these instructions from the apostle. Keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself in the love of God. Now, I love that because it's one of these things that, well, wait a minute. Why are you telling me to do something that is already a reality? God's love for me is certain. It's true. Throughout Scripture, it's repeated. Why are you saying keep yourself in the love of God? In other words, I think it's saying remind yourself of and tell yourself again that it's true that God loves you. It's stop having spiritual anemia. Stop forgetting. Remember again. Keep yourself in the love of God. I heard the story of a guy who was walking down the sidewalk and he found a guy under a street light in the middle of the night searching around for something. And the guy says, well, what's going on? Well, I dropped my wedding ring and I can't find it. Will you help me look for it? Sure, sure. Where do you think he dropped it? Well, I dropped it back there a few feet, but it's dark over there, so I'm looking here in the light for it. We're looking in the wrong spot for some things. keep yourself in the love of God. You could picture a street light beaming down and we're instructed to keep ourselves in the light. Or you could picture a giant waterfall with the gushing torrents of water coming down, and we want to get close enough to be in the flow of it. We want to be in the flow of God's love. Not because it's not there, but because we forget. We forget. In that story about the woman from Canada that forgot her husband, it says she was scared of him. Who is this guy that's constantly around me who I don't know? She was scared of him. She was scared of this man that loved her unconditionally. But over time, she recognized his goodness and his commitment, his faithfulness to her. And she fell in love with him all over again. I think God wants you to fall in love with him all over again. God's inviting you today. Let's date again. Let me court you again. Let me woo you again. In fact, he wants to sweep you off your feet. He wants to overwhelm you with his love. For when you love, when you realize and receive and keep yourself in the love of God, then you can finally be who God made you to be. Then you're no longer walking around in fear. Then the fear nots of Scripture make sense. I know a young guy who I think really highly of, but it was amazing to watch this guy after he got married. He just blossomed. There was something about him knowing and being assured of his wife's constant love for him that enabled him to just grow beyond where he had been. His confidence grew because he knew he was loved. Do you know you're loved? Ask God for a fresh measure of his love for you. Ask God to pour it into your heart again. This verse has been in my thoughts a lot over the last year. It's Zephaniah 3:17. I love the image of it. Your Old Testament is filled with pictures of a God who adores you. Zephaniah 3:17 reads, "The Lord your God is in your midst. He's the mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. And he will exult over you with loud singing." Ask the Holy Spirit to let that verse sink in deep and become the thought that's in the forefront every morning as you wake up. Let it be a verse that's constantly reminding you that God is with you. You're in his midst. He's in your midst. He's rejoicing over you. He's so glad you woke up. Even before you had your cup of coffee, he's glad to see you. Jaden has a new puppy at our house, and the thing I like about this puppy is she acts glad to see me. My old dog, 9 years old, oh yeah, it's him again, and just goes back to napping. The puppy, I drive up, she comes running. She follows the car into the garage. I open the door, and she's there jumping up, just eager to see me. As eager as a puppy might be to see you, God is eager to see you. He exalts over you. He stills you or quiets you by his love, wraps you up and says, "It's okay. It's going to be all right. I'm here. You're safe." And he sings over you. Loud singing. Good singing. He loves you that much. See, I think it's when you know you're loved, understand your identity as one beloved of God, that then you can face the world. What's God calling you to step into today? What are the challenges? What are the hardships? I don't know, but God does. And before you get to him, he wants you to have a fresh dose of his love. When you're loved of God, and you understand your identity as the beloved of the Lord, then you can live out your calling. Then you can be the agents of change in the world. Then you can be the ones who distribute that love to the people around you. Then you can stand up when the world seems to be being tossed and turned. Then you can be a person of stability when things are going in chaos around you. It's knowing your identity as someone the Lord loves that enables you to stand. So go on a journey. If you've forgotten your lover, if you've forgotten how much God loves you, go on a journey. Read his love notes every morning. See his goodness, see his character, and start repeating the truth. I am God's beloved. We started our service, the worship set, the youth led us in a song, Do Lord, oh do Lord, do Lord, or oh do remember me. As I was singing, I was thinking, we ought to rephrase that, because God's not the one with a memory problem, it's me. help me, Lord, remember you. Do Lord, I do remember you. And I remember your love. I remember that your love is fresh and new every morning, and I receive it today. And I walk in the reality of God's love for me. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your love. And thank you that you're gracious with us when we have spiritual forgetfulness. When we have amnesia and when we forget who you are. And we forget that your love is constant and fresh every single day. Overwhelm us with your love, God. And enable us to be people who keep ourselves in your love, who stay in that reality and who keep affirming it and keep reminding ourselves and keep reminding our children and keep reminding the people around us. Give us the ability, Lord, to feel your love, hear your love, stand in the truth of your love, and then boldly walk into the day that's in front of us because we're assured and we're certain of your love. Lord, remind us of our identity as ones adopted by you into an everlasting, eternal love relationship. Thank you for this truth. We pray in Christ's holy name. Amen.